You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Tuesday, the 30th of September. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX closed 0.16% lower. I'll have more on that later with Jonathan Sheed from State Street Investment Management. But first, the Reserve Bank has unanimously, and as expected, left interest rates unchanged at 3.6% at its latest board meeting, following a rise in inflation in August. For more, I spoke with Pradeep Philip from Deloitte Access Economics.
Look, three things about the Reserve Bank's decision today to not cut interest rates. One, it was widely anticipated. The second, that it's consistent with their steady as she goes approach. But the third thing is we should not see this as a signal that the rate cut cycle is over. What it tells us is that the economy, there are some green shoots in the economy. The Reserve Bank wants to see how strong they are. We know that inflation has fallen substantially. Headline and trimmed inflation are within the Reserve Bank's target band. But we also know from the most recent monthly inflation numbers that the September quarter figures could be slightly higher. So the Reserve Bank is taking a very cautious approach to this.
We saw inflation rise in August. How much did that impact the decision today? And does that suggest that the inflation threat is far from over?
Look, you should never claim victory on inflation. Why? Because inflation represents the dynamics of the economy. And so it's always going to be present. But what you've got to do is get to the underlying factors. And what we saw in recent inflation numbers, some things have dropped out. For instance, state subsidies on electricity had dropped out, and so we saw a little bit of a boost. But we also know there's a little bit more life in the Australian economy. We also know that unemployment has held up. It hasn't gone up as much as people had thought. And fundamentally, what we also know is that there are supply side constraints in our economy. And Steph, this is the thing we've got to focus on. Our policy problem that we've got to tackle for our economy is lifting the supply constraints from our economy. And that means a couple of things. One is we need more business investment in our economy. We need to be able to produce more goods and services. We need to have more updated technology, more state-of-the-art technology. And we need to do more research and development, have a bit more of a risk appetite. Because if we do these things, what that does is it lifts productivity. And we've been talking about productivity for a while, but the key to that is lifting business investment, because that does two things. It expands the productive capacity of the economy, and it increases its run rate. And that's good for the economy.
You mentioned how the RBA has taken the cautious approach. How much has geopolitical issues and uncertainty around tariffs influenced this decision? And how long can we expect that to continue, considering that the full impact of the tariffs haven't even been felt yet?
Absolutely. Look, this is one of the things that is on the Reserve Bank's radar, and it should be on all of our radars. We should not underestimate the impact of the slowing global economy and how geopolitics is driving a lot of uncertainty. We are living at a time where, you know, we used to actually have this view that good economics drive good geopolitics. Well, that's flipped. Geopolitics is now driving economics. And so we really got to start to understand that. The global economy is slowing. There is uncertainty on how these tariffs are going to play out into the largest economy of the world, the United States. And so the Reserve Bank is keeping a close watch on this. And for Australia, this is important. You know, there are some things that are not in our control, and the global economy is one of them. So we should focus on the things that are within our control, and we can do things around the productive capacity of our economy.
And finally, you did mention that you don't think that we're at the end of the rate cutting cycle. When can we expect further rate cuts?
Look, I think the Reserve Bank will wait to see how the economy is tracking, and they'll get the September quarter GDP figures just before their December meeting. And we don't think those September quarter figures are going to show an overheating economy. We think it'd be the appropriate time for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates, a nice Christmas present for Australian business and for those with mortgages. And we think that through next year, because we still need to rekindle growth in the economy, and we still think that the global economy will be a worry, we think there'll be another 50 basis points worth of reductions in interest rates next year.
That was Pradeep Philip from Deloitte. Now to the Australian share market, which has closed 0.16% lower, dragged down by a sell-off in energy stocks. For more on this and the looming US government shutdown, I spoke with Head of Investments at State Street Investment Management, Jonathan Sheed. The Reserve Bank has left interest rates on hold as expected. It was a unanimous decision. How has the ASX responded?
Well, as we speak now, the ASX is pretty flat for the day. I don't think there was much surprise in the Reserve Bank decision, and the market has reacted accordingly. In the bond market, we've seen a little bit of a sell-off perhaps across the curve, reflecting that slightly more hawkish tone. However, I think the real surprise was when the firmer CPI numbers came through earlier this month, and that's really where the market was focused.
The materials sector is dragging the index down today. Why is that?
Australian share market's a funny thing. Materials have actually had a very strong year and a pretty strong quarter. Energy has certainly lagged off the back of oil prices, and materials have reflected to some extent a recovery in iron ore prices. But I think the Australian market, the sectors are quite heavily driven by what happens in just a handful of companies in both the energy sector and the material sector. And certainly if you compare that to global companies, for example, you know, globally, materials and energies companies had an absolutely terrible 2024, but they've kind of held their own this year, year to date, and also over the course of this quarter, whereas the material sector in Australia has actually had a very strong quarter for Q3.
All eyes will now be on the unemployment data out of the US on Friday night. That's if a US government shutdown doesn't happen. What is the market expecting with those figures? Could they signal more rate cuts over there?
I think we're probably looking a little bit further than the shutdown. I think the administration normally manages to work through these things. It feels like there's a lot of brinkmanship on both sides on these kind of events. I think we're probably looking a bit further out. If you look, coming back to the RBA's decision, once the full quarter's CPI comes out, that'll provide the RBA a little more clarity. And we think that later on in October, once the Doge redundancies or the employment offers finalize, we may see some more, an uptick in unemployment in the US off the back of that in about October, being 6 months after all the initial restructuring was done. So I think that's what we're watching at the moment. But bear in mind the fact that recent news in the US economy has actually been reasonably strong. So in terms of, you know, new home sales or revisions to Q2 GDP, some good consumer spending numbers. Inflation appears to be within expectations. So things are looking okay in the US, but it's the employment numbers, I think, in October that we'll be watching closely.
Speaking of the looming shutdown, it's seen the Australian dollar start the week a bit firmer against the greenback. Can we expect that to continue, particularly if the shutdown does go ahead?
I think calling the Australian dollar over a short period of time is incredibly difficult to do. I'd be looking over the next 6 to 12 months, first of all, at what you're expecting to see from the Fed in terms of cutting compared to the RBA. And certainly, I think we would probably expect the RBA to perhaps cut once more this year, maybe not, depending, as I said, on what happens to those October CPI numbers. But the Fed certainly seems to be in cutting mode, and you could have anything from 100 to 150 basis points of cuts by the end of 2026. So that will tend to support the Australian dollar. We also think that compared to the US dollar, the Australian dollar is reasonably attractively priced on sort of long-term fundamental bases. And the US, of course, has the fiscal position of the Australian government is much stronger than the US. The US has got a rising interest rate expense. It's losing some of that offshoring and globalization tailwind with the change in trade policy. So I think longer term, some Aussie dollar strength against the US is what we would expect to see for all of those sorts of reasons. The word of caution I'd say is that in times of stress, the US dollar remains a defensive currency. It is the reserve currency, whether you like it or not. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to say that the Aussie is going to run away in a mad gallop over the next few months. It only takes a couple of risk events for people to move back to the US dollar, even if it's over a short period of time.
And finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
I think the opportunity for investors, it depends how fleet of foot you are. I think for most personal investors, we would say speak to a financial planner first and foremost. Secondly, stay invested. When volatility hits, sometimes the worst thing you can do is sell out immediately after a market correction. So it's actually safer, believe it or not, to stay invested. And then diversify. The equity market has done really well, but the bond market, you can get a 4 to 4.5% yield on a 10-year government bond. If you don't like duration risk, you can get some pretty attractive yields on floating rate notes and so on. So definitely diversify. Perhaps talk to your financial planner about other diversification strategies like gold, or perhaps defensive equities, or even cash. On institutional investors who are perhaps able to move portfolios in anticipation of market moves and move a little bit more quickly, we quite like the equity market at the moment, just because sales and earnings have been doing pretty well. We've got some pretty good sentiment in the market. The investor risk appetite seems to be there. So we do quite like equities, particularly US equities. And I might add US small cap as well. Don't overlook US small cap equities. Everyone knows that the largest US companies have been driving share market performance over the last couple of years. But we think there's a case to be made for smaller cap equities in the US to make up some not lost ground over the next year or so. We quite like emerging markets, perhaps less so Asia Pacific or Europe. In the equity space, don't particularly like bonds at the moment on that short-term view, maybe a little bit of high yield, certainly some cash, and then also those diversifying asset classes like commodities or gold, areas where we think it pays to have a little bit of exposure at the moment.
That was Jonathan Sheed. That's all for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.